Hi everyone, and welcome to the Private Market Show brought to you by Let's Venture and Money Control. Here we talk about the nuances of investing into India's private markets, where the underlying asset is actually innovative technology, new markets, and good old enterprise. Investing in private markets is actually about investing in startups, and this can take many manifestations, all of which we will uncover and deep dive into our show. I'm your host, Shanti Mohan, co-founder and CEO of Let's Venture. Let's Venture was founded in 2013 with the vision of making early stage investing easy for both founders and investors.
On the show today, we have our first woman guest, Shweta Rao. Shweta is one of the most active angel investors in the country today. She has worn many hats in the past. She has been an entrepreneur, worked at a large global bank, and actively spent time adding value to the journey of several early stage founders, especially those in the fintech and the e-commerce space.
You don't really have to start very big, right? You could invest just 3 to 5 lakhs and get start your journey. So it's no more that, you know, you have to write a bankroll check.
Yes.
Right, to get into it. So I think that I would say that you don't have to start very big.
Let's dive into this conversation with Shweta, where we will focus on the lens she uses while she evaluates early stage startups, as well as the process she uses while she works with founders. Thank you, Shweta, for being part of the Let's Venture Angel podcast. And very excited because you are our first woman lead investor who's there today on the podcast. So let me start by asking you, you know, what motivated you to become an angel investor, and just talk a little bit brief about your background and the incentives of actually investing into private markets.
Thanks so much for having me here, Shanti. It's always exciting and it's always enriching to talk to you. I think you've been one of the prime person. I think Let's Venture is a platform where I heard about it so much when I was not an angel investing. So I think congratulations on that to you. About my journey, and just to give you a quick background about me, I'm an engineer who worked into technology field for a long time, completed my engineering, went to US, worked with the software consultancy firms, worked on more on a data analytics, business intelligence side for a long time. Came back to India, worked with IBM, Wipros of the world. And that's when in 97, 98 time frame, if you remember, a little bit of startup movement had started in India. So there were like Rediff.com, which had started up. So worked on Rediff.com as my first e-com project through IBM. So I was one of the first team into the Rediff.com. So I've seen the startup in general through Rediff.com, where it was a small dilapidated building where, you know, they were operating out of there, and a small team. So I had some exposure then, and then went on to join a small e-com startup in 2000 time frame. Then joined a little bigger and little more interesting into more in the banking space, which was apnaloan.com, which was way ahead of its time. What we see now in Paisa Bazaar or a bank bazaar, they were doing loan origination system with a credit scoring. And we had our platform, which was internet, was on the web, and people could apply for the loan then. Of course, internet was not even stable that time. We used to struggle through that. So I have gone through that phase and then created the product out of that. And we got bought over by ICICI Infotech and hence joined ICICI Bank in, with the whole team. And so worked with ICICI Infotech for a while and then again joined back to MNC. Worked again in very, very deep data analytics space again in somewhere in time frame of 2011-2012, I thought, you know, I want to do something of my own, and I could understand that the e-commerce wave now again picking it up. So thought, you know, why not start with something in a beauty e-commerce? Came across this Birchbox, which is a beauty box kind of a model. So worked on that idea for a year's time, wanted to launch that. But then I moved to Singapore and it became very difficult to, you know, handle startup when you are not in the country. And it wasn't as easy like the way it is right now, like the way we are doing it on Zoom calls. Yes. So thought maybe, you know, I'll keep it on a back burner, do it some other time, join DBS Bank. And that's when I got an opportunity to start looking at more startups. So my husband also had a startup. So, you know, just the whole ecosystem again came in front of me, and I could, so many founders I was meeting. So thought, why not? I love this space anyways. I have seen the whole wave of it. Now that I have an opportunity, why not start investing? And that's how I came into angel investing, initially with the job I used to do it. And then somewhere in 2017, I thought, I really like this space. Why not get more detail into it and do it more like a day job? And wow. Yeah, that's how is my journey to angel investing. Yes, it's been an interesting ride so far.
So that's very interesting. You've gone from e-commerce to data analytics to fintech to beauty e-commerce.
Yeah.
Way ahead of its time, just as part of your work. And then, you know, again, getting full time into angel investing in 2017. I think you're always a little bit ahead of the curve, Shweta, from what you're telling us, which is actually really interesting, because it's important to, as an investor, to be able to see ahead the trends, right? And just from that perspective, how do you look at your thesis, right? How do you look at defining a thesis? Because you have this very, very varied, very interesting, in-depth background into a lot of the sectors which are today probably going to be hot in the next decade, right? So you really come with that advantage. But how do you define your thesis? And how should a new investor, so in 2017, right, when you said, I want to go full-time into angel investing, how did you think about it?
So I'll tell you what happens. I think the journey is pretty much the way you do it in a public market, right? Initially, you're looking at all the analysis. You see the Udayan Mukherjee talk smart, and, you know, he understands the market. He's giving some tips and you pick up that and you start investing. So similarly, angel investing also started like, you know, you follow friends. So because now the startup ecosystem, you're part of it. So like, I'll tell you about the Easy Rewards, which was the first investment actually. So some friend actually said that, you know, they are raising, are you keen? And the rewards was the category which was still not evolved. I had so worked in the US back then itself. I knew that, you know, people were using rewards so much, but India, that whole ecosystem except for the bank had some kind of reward system. There's nothing more happening there. So when somebody introduced, I said, why not try it? And, you know, so you just follow friends and, you know, you feel that, you know, the thesis, it will work, and you invest into that. But over time, I say it's more like, because you've seen certain kind of trends and waves, you're mentally, you know what will work, what will not work, and how you're thinking through it. So initially it starts with that I like this sector, I understand this sector, I want to go deeper into it, I'll try with small amount of investment and all. And then the whole thesis gets created, right? Because you see one startup completely, you know that what works, what doesn't work. It's typically, ultimately, it boils down to the founder. Yes. And founder's passion and how it is aligned to what they want to do, right? Because sometimes it's a great idea. Founder wants to do it more like a business, but the passion is not aligned, and you see that, you know, over, it doesn't work out.
Yes.
But if found, because a lot of businesses pivot, right? And why pivot also is successful is because founder is passionate about it. It can see through some of the other opportunities while into the business as well, right? So the thesis gets built on these kind of a parameter where you want to look at founder, its grit and passion. You want to look at what business problem they're solving for. Is it something which is really a need in the of an hour? So, you know, because you yourself is also a consumer of certain things and you can see certain trends. You, if you are the consumer or if you may not be the consumer, how do you want to view those things? So you put up those kind of matrix to it. And then, of course, how from the traction to scalability will come into the picture. Initially, when you're angel investing, it's really not that you really know the whole monetization plan. But how founders can see through that whole journey and how they can show your vision and share your vision with you. That's how you decide on your investment. I always believed that instead of just investing in all the kinds of startups is something which you can understand better, your domain expertise or your network, I like to begin with that. So, you know, that's how I have done my journey, where I understood fintech, I understood data analytics, and then moved to some different kind of a startup. But initially, I think the comfort is in what you understand and how you can implement that into this other startup's journey. I think I see it, building the thesis on that.
Okay, that's very interesting. As a new angel investor, you're saying stay closer to the domains where you have a little bit more expertise to understand the analysis, yes, as well as understand how the founding team is applying that analysis to the product they're building, right? But I think you made one point, Shweta, here in the beginning, where you said, just like in public markets, you're influenced by other people when you're listening to them. We also recommend that as a new investor, right? You also look at other lead investors and probably be influenced by them.
I totally believe that, because, you know, even if, let's say, you know that there is a need of a certain kind of product to exist in the market.
Yes.
But you won't have an exposure to a startup ecosystem. You wouldn't get that deal. So how would you go? So that's where I feel something like Let's Venture kind of a platform, or when you follow a syndicate leads, yes, you get an exposure to those kind of startups which you are interested in. Yes. So you might go on a platform, follow your thesis, but go through a very systematic route when, yes, you begin angel investing. And I think that's a better way to start.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Because the ecosystem is so broad, right?
Yeah.
There are so many options. You have to go in a little bit more structured mechanism, completely agree. But if you look at 2017, Shweta, and look at 2021 today, what has been your journey of a new investor to today a very experienced investor who also now runs a syndicate, right? Just talk to us about what has changed in the way you today evaluate founders, or what has changed in your thought process. If you can reflect a little bit on that.
So I think the fundamentals have still remained same.
Yes.
You still look at the founder's passion. You still look at what is the product. You still look at, is there a scope of monetization? I think once you talk to so many founders, so many startups, you have developed certain thesis, and you've seen some thesis not working as well, right?
Yes.
And so you implement those back in, when I started investing, I just couldn't see that, you know, having so not good unit economics and spending so much on your customer acquisition cost is a right way to invest into any startup. But if you look at some of the startups which were like for so many years, they just invested into the business, and they, because they could get those fundings as well, they could sustain.
Yes.
So now that experience is a very different experience, that you feel that, you know, what if you don't get funding, and if your business is not profitable in 3-4 years times, it may not work. But if your unit economics are right and you have seen through the journey well, and if the founder's passion is aligned to it, I think you can still take those bets, which initially I would hesitate. I would like to see some better unit economics or a CAC conversion, which I think over time we've realized that there is a lot of money in the market. People get funded, and if a founder is good, you can think on those perspectives as well, which initially you wouldn't. When you just start investing, you wouldn't think that way.
Yes.
You would think on more of the businesses and the founder only.
Yeah,
so I think that has changed. Other than that, I think just the whole tech piece, right, how it has evolved. If you look at even the fintech for that matter, the complete this API factory which we are living in, so that is a very different, right? So the whole approach can be now very different. When somebody in 2016, 2017 would come and say that, you know, I want to challenge a bank and start a bank, you would think that how can you actually start a bank? You can't really do a banking business. There's so much stricter regulations and all. But now when if somebody talks to you, you would want, you believe that because there are so many, the whole ecosystem has evolved, right?
Yes.
So based on these information, you change your thesis. And that's what I have, I think.
You also talked about what you would not invest, right, Shweta? And that brings me to my next question of, do you have an antithesis when you actually go about investing? Like what you will not touch?
So, you know, I still believe that your unit economics should be good, right? Okay. I still believe if, let's say a startup, because of the trend, maybe raises at a very high valuation, very little amount of money, and has to use a lot of money to acquire customer, I still don't like that model a lot. So I think that I would definitely not touch, because I just feel that if you're in raising very little amount of money and your unit economics are not right, you have to spend so much money in acquiring customer, it may not last long. So I still give a lot of importance to unit economics per se.
Okay, this is an interesting answer in terms of antithesis, you know, because a lot of investors will say, I will never invest in health tech or e-commerce. And you have probably a better response to an early stage investor, because as an early stage investor, we could probably stay sector agnostic, but you could not stay agnostic to the way you're building the business, right? In the sense, are you thinking through the business models correctly and building something which is a little more long term? So talk to us a little bit more about your syndicate, Shweta, in terms of, you know, what role does the lead investor play in the syndicate?
So I take this very, very seriously. So I think if something which I'm not confident of, sometimes you might feel it's ahead of time, or maybe and you feel you're not confident, if you can't put your money in, I wouldn't like to syndicate. That's a very, very clear thesis in my head. I think lead's role is very responsible role, where you have to go through founder, understanding the founder, asking founder difficult questions to get the right answers. And that's how you build the conviction on that. Also, I think as a syndicate lead, it is very important for you to show the right picture of the startup, right? What it is, what stage it is in, what do you see can go wrong, and what do you see as the pluses, of course. And that's you see a lot of pluses, and that's why you are investing or you are syndicating the lead. But I think it's very important to answer every investor's question when, because they are backing you. So it's be it 1 lakh. Somebody who's investing 1 lakh or a 1 crore, I think I would want to treat all of them same, because it's because of the backer that you are actually a syndicate lead. So, you know, I take that very seriously. But it's very important to show the clear picture is what I feel is important, and explain your thesis, why you are investing, how are you thinking about it, and get founder to, you know, have a call with them, or, I mean, on an open platform. But yeah, so that's how I feel syndicate lead's role should be.
So basically you talked about, you know, bringing out the pros and cons of the founder. I think that's an important point, because I think we should also include that into the thesis when a syndicate is launched, where we talk about, you know, this is what I see will happen, but this is what I see could go wrong in the startup going forward, right? I think that will be an interesting way to present the thesis. Can you just take us through maybe one investment example, Shweta, where probably how did you decide and did the thesis actually play out just in terms of the entire journey? And maybe you can take an older investment or a newer investment.
So, okay, one obviously is Bank Open.
Yes.
Where I invested much very early check into it. So Bank Open, so it's a very typical where, you know the founder. So founder used to work with in Citrus, had interacted with the founder quite a bit, knew how he thinks about the product and what's his understanding about the whole fintech world was. So new founder very well. And when Anish came up and said that he's building something in Challenger Bank, in SME Neo Bank, first of all, obviously, first reaction was, can you do that? And when did more and understanding that, you know, the way the whole retail customers are treated, actually SME customers are, though they have a current account, they're not treated the way the retail has all the options and facilities available to them. So when the whole thesis came out, and then it was like no brainer that there should exist a SME neobank. Then obviously you have seen, because known Anish from so close, knew that, you know, he has a vision to build something. He has a passion to do something and will be able to carry out that. So that was a very, in a way, easy decision. And so that's how the whole bank open investment happened. And completely different was Vadam Tea, where, you know, in Vadam Tea, somebody introduced the startup, and all along I've invested only in tech, never into a D2C brand. So, but Vadam Tea sounded very, very interesting because they were doing 95% of their sale was export. US was their biggest market. And if you see, I always believe that there should be a brand which is a global from India. And I always felt that we have not really capitalized on our Indian tradition, Indian Ayurveda concept, and, you know, things like that. So when I spoke to Bala and, you know, understood how his vision is and how he's thinking about it, tea is just not a regular standard tea, but there could be a haldi tea or it's ashwagandha tea, which is basically very deep rooted in our Indian culture. And so I really liked it, but still you're not so sure, right? Because I've never done it. So called up so many people, did research, found out how the whole D2C market works. How is it working? Called up and I asked Bala, can you just make, I was in Singapore, so can you mail me the samples? Because I want to look at the product. I have not seen your product at all. And I've not tried it. So he sent the whole samples. And once I saw the whole thing, did the research, and I was very confident that, you know, this is a startup I want to back. And fortunately, it turned out good. And so they became Oprah's favorite list and, you know, a lot of things. So it's been a good journey. But yeah, so it really depends. It's the decisioning and the way it worked. But yeah, if you want to do your research and understanding of both founder as well as the domain.
Yeah, these are very interesting points you bring up, Shweta, that you go deep, you know, you actually ask him to ship the product. Sometimes some investors may not have so much time to actually do that because the round will close immediately. You probably have 3 days, you know, to commit to the startup. But of course, if you're leading a startup as a lead investor, then you should do that diligence in terms of not just founder, but market, business, customer, right? Like all of that. Before you actually decide to lead the round, which is very good for the backing investor because they know that the lead investor has done all his diligence before he has decided to become the lead investor.
Right.
Right. And now when it comes to term sheet, Shweta, right, how do you look at negotiating the term sheet? And, you know, how have you gone through any negotiations in the next round where you have represented the rights of investors? Has that... And then how do you see that role play out?
So, I mean, so far, the term sheet wise, I mean, I follow one simple rule saying if I'm not the lead, if somebody else is the lead, whatever is the term for the lead has to be the term for all the investors. So that is a very simple rule. And I like to follow that. Even if, let's say, I'm investing a very small check.
Yes.
Of I like to make sure that whatever is the lead's rights, you should get that. Other than that, I think pretty much standard things which you typically want to see. And I haven't really come across where, you know, I have to really fight for the rights, except for, you know, sometimes the lead may not, if it's a smaller fund or lead, they may not want certain kind of rights to be passed on. You just have to make few calls and, you know, explain why you feel that it should be same. And obviously founder plays a very important role, but that becomes a make or break kind of a thing. Yes. I do not like in the same round, investors are treated separately. So that's something which I typically try and work it out. There are times but it hasn't happened so far that, you know, you've not managed to do it. Other than that, I think that term sheet wise, obviously you want to look at some of these basic pro rata rights or liquidity preferences, and which is set, you know. But I think on your platform, I've seen that you have a good legal team which is helping you think through this more clearly. And I have experienced that in whatever syndicates I have done. So I think that takes my burden off that, you know, if I have missed out something, somebody else has also looked at it up. So, yeah.
Yes. I think that's a very important point, right, Shweta, in terms of protecting your investors, yeah, right, while you're working with your founders, after investing, right, after making the investment, and if you're a syndicate lead, how much time do you typically allocate to your startups and how do you work with your founders? Could you talk a little bit more about it?
Yeah, so I take it case by case. So, you know, there are some, because now I've done like initially, some of those are sector agnostic. So I've become not really completely, but so I take case by case depending on how, what is a founder's comfort. I also believe that founders should be given its own freedom to operate in a certain way. Having said that, you want to see quarterly report. You want to see how is the progress happening. So you want to see that. But you, so if founder needs help, you should open up. So I typically open up my connections. So over years, you build so much connection, right? So if a founder needs any help, sometimes you know that founder is not, when you're talking to, you see that founder is not able to see the scale actually in a certain direction. Maybe you connect them or you talk to them. So I do that very often. Typically younger founders, when you know they're not experienced and they're still struggling with, there could be sometimes even a simple legal thing, you know, that they don't know where to go. So you help them with those things as well. But after you do the investment, it's typically about every 6 to 8 weeks, 10 weeks kind of a thing, where I would just ping a founder to understand that where it is and all, unless founder reaches out. So there are some founders, actually I talk to them every week because they are really wanting to talk, discuss and brainstorm. There are some founders I talk to them like 10 weeks later and just ping them. So yeah, it depends on every startup to startup and founder to founder.
Yes, yes. That's actually a very good approach, right? So be available when your founders need the help and then don't trouble them because you think that they are able to do it on their own. Let them kind of go build it.
And I think that's very important that you should give that freedom to the founder as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because this is a very challenging journey for founders, right? So it's always having an investor who understands your perspective, I think becomes very, very important from a founder perspective.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Now coming to the more interesting question, which most investors ask us, right? How do you look at exits? And do you have an exit thesis, or, you know, how should investors look at exits when they invest into startups?
Around the world, there are, I think, two types of investor, right? So one is you invest very early and where you feel the idea is good, founder is good, and once they get a product market fit and they are able to scale, which comes as a Series B kind, so you might want to exit at that time, right? Because you've already seen that growth, because once a startup sustains a Series B, typically you have seen that valuation growth for you and you might want to just exit at Series B, Series A kind of a thing once product market fit is achieved.
Okay.
So that is one way of looking at it. Another way is that you feel that you really believe in this whole system, how it is going to go, and you are so certain that you want to ride for a longer time. So instead of 5 years, you are ready to wait for 10 years kind of a thing. And so some of the startups, you wait till 10 years because that's when you will see the great upside, right? And your whole so-called 10x or 100x kind of a valuation which you get to see is will happen at that stage. So yeah, that's how I think about the exit strategy.
So again, you have a very unique perspective because I think you bring more empathy to the conversation because you're talking about exit from perspective of product and market and not in terms of financial multiplier, right? Like if you see 5x exit. So as a closing note, Shweta, how would you kind of position this asset class?
I think it's a very interesting asset class and it gives you multiple things, right? One is it has an upside. you get multiples which you typically may not get in any of the public market. With that, you also get to see a company getting built very closely, right? So that itself also is a very enriching journey. And so you are getting an upside from the monetary perspective. You get to see the company getting built, which gives you a very good and very satisfying feeling, which if you just invest into Reliance, you don't get it, right? And just that when you feel that, you know, you some business should exist, and when you feel that you can contribute through some way, it could be investment, could be advice. So I would say that when I look at startups, I see it in a way, of course, the monetary aspect is important. You always want to see the startup to be successful, and I see that as the most important thing. Apart from that, there is this benefit which also comes along when you do angel investing. So it should be part of your portfolio. And I see that happening also, you know, when I talk to my friends, they all say that, you know, maybe I won't invest much, but, you know, I want to invest 10, 20 lakhs, which is also a good start to, you know, start building your portfolio, but start with something which you also believe in. Yes. And then, or just follow or lead or somebody who understands the startup ecosystem.
And what is your advice to women investors, Shweta? I mean, we see so less of them today in the ecosystem.
Yeah, of course, I understand what your question is. I think it's just investor is an investor, be it male or a female. Just that I think the women are not spending enough time and focus into it.
Yes.
Because various reasons. But I think I would say that treat this as one of the investment, which is your earning wealth creation opportunity. Sometimes we just get into the day-to-day kind of a thing, and whether we believe something, not don't spend enough time. So spend time on what's happening in the startup ecosystem. Build your thesis, follow what you understand, and start investing into this, because this is one of the way you can create wealth. And with all these options of these platforms available, you don't really have to start very big, right? You could invest just 3 to 5 lakhs and start your journey. So it's no more that, you know, you have to write a 1 crore check.
Yes.
Right, to get into it. So I think that, I would say that you don't have to start very big.
Yes.
And I think it's just people are not aware that, you know, you don't have to start very big, and that's why they're just staying away from it. I think once you get into it, then it just will open up more for even women investors.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it was wonderful talking to you, Shweta. That's it on this episode of the Private Market Show. If you have a suggestion or feedback, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. We'll be back next week with yet another insightful episode. Have a good week.